think one thing I want to add to what she said about that is, like, you know, a lot of people didn't just deal with it. They just suffered in silence back in the day, and it caused depression and it caused other issues for that person who didn't fit in or felt bullied or felt different. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I love about this generation is that, you know, when somebody wants to change, they can change. What I don't like is people that they feel like people shouldn't have an opinion on it.
Welcome to another episode of Love Everyone Equally with your host, the underground artist, The Truth, and his lovely wife, Delta, where they discuss various topics on relationship, social, and cultural issues. So join them every week for new episodes. Don't forget to like, share, and follow. And remember to spread a little love.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Love Everyone Equally. I'm your host, Delta.
I'm your host, Eugene, and third host.
That's me.
Hey, Allie, what's up?
Nothing much, just sleepy as could be. Ready for a nap.
So, it's been a while since our last episode, like 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're trying to get back into the flow of everything.
Yes.
Yeah. So this episode, we're going to be talking about several posts that we came across, and we want to get Allie's perspective because she's what generation? X? No,
I think I'm Z. I think I'm Generation Z.
Okay, Generation Z, and me and Eugene is Generation X. Not DMX, but X. Just a little humor. Allie, what's been going on with you?
Just work and school, pretty much. I had my fall break last week, so now my new classes are starting up, and that's pretty much it. Just work and school.
You know, this is probably a stupid-ass question, but I ain't go to college. So when you go through your fall break, when you come off your fall break, your classes change?
It depends. Most times, yes, because okay. I only do 8-week classes.
Okay.
So since they're all online, I did 8 weeks. Then I have a fall break, and then I have a few weeks for Christmas and then spring break.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Isaiah had his fall break this week.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
He just left, went back to school.
Okay, so we're going to take a listen to this post.
Generation so fucked up. We losing too many people. Everybody dying. Everybody on fucking drugs. It's men and women on the internet arguing right now, talking about bad relationship advice. Smoking and drinking is the new fun. Nowadays, people don't want to work. They'd rather be fucking lazy and have everything handed to them. And the people who do have jobs are being called broke by the people who don't have jobs. The rainbow flag mafia is getting more notarized than ever before. Being a slut and a hoe is the new norm. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're not a sex worker, I guess you lame now. People are more weird than ever before. If you don't do half the shit people do nowadays, you consider lame. You can't speak or stand up for yourself anymore. You can't have an opinion on things anymore. People are way sensitive than ever. And then on top of that, people rather socialize on the internet than rather socialize in person. What has this world come to?
Okay, so he said a lot in that 30-second clip. I mean, who wants to go first?
It's a lot that he was talking about. I know, like, popping pills for this generation is a norm. It's a quick high, and a lot of kids are dying from it been laced with too much amphetamines. When Eli passed, that was my first fear, because we all try something. You know what I'm saying? We all experiment. And that was a fear. And then my cousin just passed away popping pills with too much of fentanyl. you know, it's a sad thing. Back in the '80s, it was heroin. Early 2000 was meth, and now it's turning into pills. We all, every generation goes to the stage of being addicted to something. I think it's just more scary now because the women aspect of it. Like in the '80s, you still had your grandmother. Early 90s, you still had your grandmother, regardless of what your mom was going through. I'm talking about from a male perspective.
Okay.
Regardless of what your mom was going through, if it was drugs, chasing man, drinking, whatever she was doing, you still had your grandmother. Now that boy usually don't have anyone because the grandmother is too busy trying to be young and she's still trying to enjoy her life. The kid is usually out there on his own through their struggles. So it's like the love aspect is leaving the world from the male side of it because we don't have that comfort growing up as I did, or, you know what I'm saying, people like me in the 80s and 90s, you know, that one person that was always going to keep you comfort.
I think for me, I think a lot of what he said was very true. People are now afraid to speak their opinion because if you speak your opinion and it differs from the majority, you're pretty much crucified. At the end of the day, we all have our opinion and it doesn't dictate outcome of that person's life unless they allow it to. I think for me as a woman and a mother, this whole thought culture is crazy for me. Having morals and respect for yourself is frowned upon. And I don't know what is going on in the world. I mean, it's like when you do bad, it's like you're rewarded. It's like you get famous. You get all this.
All right.
Yeah. And if you're trying to have morals, which we should, people ostracize you. I think we have gotten away from just being human. Everybody is overly sensitive. You can't say anything. If you do, you're labeled a bigot or phobic, homophobic, or whatever type of phobic they want to say. I mean, I'm being for real. And it's just crazy. It's like, when did we become so thin-skinned or whatever somebody says or how they live their life, that's how they live their lives or that's how they see the world. Why does it have to affect you to such severity to the point that you're deleting yourself or everyone is attacking that person? You know, if you don't like what somebody says, you don't have to listen to it. You can get up and walk away, change the channel. You know, you don't have to follow them. I mean, but people want to cancel. Yeah, they want to cancel that person over their belief or ideology. You know, you can always change the channel. You don't have to listen to what they're saying. But I think in this generation, you're not a lot of critical thinkers out there. And I probably get a lot of flack for that, but it is. It's like whatever the norm is, everyone runs with it instead of looking at it from a deeper intellectual place. Everyone looks at it from the surface. And maybe I'm just old fashioned or old school, out of touch, but it's just crazy to me because we all went through some form of bullying, emotional or trauma issues. And either you got help for it or talked about it in a safe space and just deal with it or just excuse yourself from that situation, you got over it. You grew from it. It made you a stronger person to deal with the obstacles or the life, the challenges that life is going
to
bring.
One thing I want to add to what she said about that is, like, you know, a lot of people didn't just deal with it. They just suffered in silence back in the day, and it caused depression and it caused other issues for that person who didn't fit in or felt bullied or felt different. That's the only thing I love about this generation is that, you know, when somebody wants to change, they can change. What I don't like is people that they feel like people shouldn't have an opinion on it. You know, everyone has an opinion.
I feel like for the whole, like, pill and drug issue, I feel like that is so big. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it also is tied into all the issues with, like, the hate in the world because of the hate and then the anxiety and the mental issues that come from it. Mm-hmm. They feel like, oh, this is the best option. Let me just take this pill. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be as – obviously, it's still bad, but it wouldn't be as bad. But they're laced with so many different things, and that's what's getting it so bad. Like, all the hate in the world, it's so complicated because so much could be solved if people would sit down and listen to what the other people say. But I feel like so many times, okay, you're saying this, that's not what I think, so you're wrong, I'm right, don't talk to me. And there's, I think it's Jubilee, does videos on different people with different views, and they talk to each other. And some of them, they have great times and they can come to a sense of agreement. But then some, it's just fire back and forth, and it's so bad.
Yeah, I think people get so caught up in the response and the reaction that they don't take time to just listen and just comprehend what, or dissect or marinate on what that other person is saying. We get so caught up in my opinion is the right opinion. And if you say something that differs, you're bad. It's not. There is no right or wrong answer. It's life. You know, we're all dealing with whatever issues we're dealing with. And if we can come to a common place where we can just be open enough to have a dialogue, then I think a lot of stuff can be resolved, you know, with the whole medication thing. It has gotten to the point where people don't want to get any type of counseling or seek help. It's more of, I want, you know what, let me not say people don't. I think the norm is just take a pill. It'll solve all your problems. And it doesn't. It's, you got to think, like, whatever traumatic issue or situation you went through, that's years and years and years and years of you holding it in, and it grows and it evolves and it manipulates into something way worse than what it is. It's like you're compounding issues on top of issues. And, you know, personally for me, you know, with my mom, she has for years suffered from mental illness. And hers started pretty much when she was a child because of the abuse that her and her siblings were subjected to. It didn't help them. It's like they buried it. And, you know, she got older and unfortunately she made some decisions and some choices that caused it to become where she is mentally now. And I think just watching her, she's been going to see a psychiatrist for years. And I don't think that they really dive deep into what the issues were with her. And now she's almost 70 years old, and she's stuck in that place. She is who she is, and she's been taking medication for years, and it hasn't helped her. It's like it made her worse because they pacified the trauma, and they didn't get deep into counseling or a deep, thorough therapy to help her to cope with those traumas. It's like she just buried it. And she done buried it so far that even if she was to try to dig deep, I think it would just destroy her in a sense because of so much that she has buried and not dealt with. So interesting topics that the young man was talking about.
Brother, they had to change. The choices I chose caused pain. My mind's real twisted. I shifted. I know I'm real different. I'm gifted. The Lord can be lifted in so many ways. I really hate feeling them chains. And to the judge, you can't explain. I beg for a doctor. They didn't even care if I holler. They lock us and keep us detained. I'm gushing out blood, sir. I just cried at this accident. Shut the fuck up, you nigga. I ain't asked you that. What you asking? I'm surely inadequate. Yeah, you hate me because I'm an African. Yeah, you hate me because I'm a graduate. I ain't speaking to that devil's advocate. I'm a black accurate damn advocate. Bleeding in my cell and never see bandages. I was staying real quiet. Watched my surroundings. Lost the most high. But look where he found me. Said I was tired and he threw me more mountains. Come from the bottom. You know that I'm grounded. Beat up this beat. Round after round. When your dog done, tell me how it sounded. I'm not the same goat. But brother just crowned me. All day.
The last pod I had with three people that I knew. One of them was from work. I really don't know personally. I just felt like he was interesting, so I asked him to do the pod. It was a great pod. I want to do more pods with people that's black men that's fighting in their head from what they grew up to, what they've been going through, how they process stuff, and let them know that they're not alone in it. Because I feel like growing up where I grew up at, a lot of times when you get in that mindset, you know, even with her, like she just said, it's like, you know, you get in that place of loneliness and you feel like you're the only one dealing with it. It's like you're so frustrated over that because you feel like no one can relate. And that's the biggest frustration you can have as a human being. And I know, like, you know, I talked to a couple of people in my job, they could just going through a lot individually. And the way they was raised isn't right, but they so focused on trying to survive that they ain't trying to correct. Is also, you know, you can correct yourself and be better.
Yeah, I mean, mental illness is so rampant, and I know back, in the 90s there were like mental hospitals and mental facilities. Now I don't really think there is any more mental hospitals to just deal with people that were having mental challenges. Now they just pretty much group them all in with nursing home or older people home or retirement homes. I could be wrong, but I know with my mom, I know for her, when we were looking for facilities, there was none pretty much available. So it's crazy how much we put money into other stuff, but we can't put money into just basic mental health. I wanted to touch on that because I think it's so important, because there's so many people dealing with psychological trauma, not just the physical, but just the psychological. The physical scars heal, but the psychological or the mental abuse, it doesn't. It stays with that person. And if they're not in a mind frame of getting help, there is really no help there for them. They're just burying it to the point that it becomes overwhelming and they can't take it anymore. I mean, for me, it's a fear because, you know, I had two cousins that deleted themselves, and before they was good dudes, you know, they was really good dudes, and I helped to raise them and I watched them grow up, and, you know, just something in their life just turned their whole world upside down that they didn't feel they was worthy to live. So for me, that's a very touchy subject because it's constantly in the back of my mind about, is my life worth living anymore? Or would I be missed, or does anybody really care? I mean, I know people care, but when you get in that headspace, it's really hard to get out of that hole. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit, you know, dig a little deeper, because, you know, I think somebody might need to hear that. I didn't mean to go all off topic or on a rampant. So
I understand completely with that. I know I've been in that spot before multiple times. And one of the times after I discovered, like, the writing stuff down helps, I have a whole, like, page or two of all the reasons every person would miss me. And then if I ever am back in that headspace, I go to that page and I look at it so I can see, like, this person would miss me because of this, and this would remind them of me. And I can just look back at it anytime and remind myself. I know me and my cousin, we have both dealt with mental illness and things like that. We know that if either of us were to delete ourselves, that the other one would follow. Like, we could not go through it alone. So we have that little mental pack together. And I know she's told me before that anytime I think of it, I have to imagine my parents, like, standing above me. And I can't do that to my parents and my family.
What you think about?
I've tried to do the journaling and writing. I'll start out very good, and then life happens and I forget all about it. And I think for me, when I pod, I feel some type of relief. And when we don't pod, then I have these episodes of my mind is wandering and it's like spinning. It's in that one spot. So I know I need to find other stuff, other outlets to do.
What about the other thing she said, like imagining, like, me or Isaiah thoughts of you?
Yeah, I do. I think what keeps me fighting is that, you know, I don't want Isaiah to feel like, dang, my mom just didn't talk or tell me or anyone what she was feeling. And I don't want him to think that's the best answer. Like, oh, when life gets hard and things get hard, well, just take myself out. No, I think that I think about you and how that guilt of what did I do as her partner or her husband or her friend that she just couldn't come talk to me about what she's going through. So I do think about you and him, and I think about other people too.
I never try to put myself in that headspace. Not saying I don't end up there sometimes, but in my situation, I feel like I can't put myself in that situation, because if I go there, that's a hard place to come from. Get yourself out. She's talking about her cousins who, you know, deleted themselves. One of them I was really cool with, and I know the place that he was at when he did it, but I don't understand how he could do it. And it's like, when you don't have that positive outlook, you know what I'm saying? In that moment, he was going through breakup and his mom didn't like his wife, and he was going through a lot. And he was also dealing with being in the army too. And it's a place that I think I don't like to even play with, because when you are in that place, it can become very dark, and you can believe that you're not worthy of being here. And once you believe that, it becomes easy for you to do it. And regardless of who you love and who's present and the reasons of why you can't do it, you taking yourself down that alley, it's a dark alley. And a lot of people don't come on the other side. Everything, when Eli passed, everything flew through my head of what happened, not knowing what happened, everything. And it's like, so when you said the guilt I feel, I felt that guilt. I know how that guilt feel. And it was unbearable, and it wasn't true. So those who I talk to, those who I interact with, I try to come pure with people, because, you know, I know that people are on the edge, and your wrong conversation with them, or not picking up the phone when they call, or, you know what I'm saying, it can be devastating to that person, and you not even knowing and never would know was it that. So, you know, all the people that are going through that loneliness, that emptiness, that pain, you know, and feel like no one is there or care or is a friend for you to the death of your life, you have someone. You just choose at that moment, when you're in that moment, not to see it.
You think it's that simple, that easy, not to see it?
Once you in that, once you constantly bringing yourself into that, like, it ain't the first time when you think about it. It ain't the second time. It could be the third, the fourth, the fifth. When you're in that and you take yourself through that, it's like a mental abuse to yourself to put yourself through that. We all can make ourselves feel unloved. We can all make ourselves feel hated. So if you do that to yourself, you're torturing yourself. And once you torture yourself to a point that is too much for yourself, then you end it. And, you know, I've been overweight all my life. I felt that I don't love myself the way I need to love myself. I feel that way because I shouldn't be this big. I hate walking. I hate exercising, but them the things I need to do to better myself. But because I don't love myself fully the way I need to love myself, I don't do them things. I can take all of what I've just said and put myself in a position to beat myself down, but that won't help Isaiah. That won't help Delta. That won't help Allie, even though I don't think I'm Allie's everything. But I think I do have a piece of her that she will be sad and just not happy about it, because she would think about Isaiah process. She would think about you, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, they just lost Elijah. Now he does that. Or, you know what I'm saying? Then this happened and you bring that upon your family. You know what I'm saying? Of everybody feeling sad, you bring that to your house and your front door, you know. And it's a, you know, Elijah passed and going to Kelly house, we know, we talked about how we feel. It's like we're out trying to have a good time, but it's like he wanted this and we didn't give it to him. Now we're doing it and he's not here. So it's a guilt there of, oh, now you're doing it because he ain't here. But when he was here, when he was begging for you to get out and do something, you didn't do it. So the whole time you're there at that place, it's like, I'm having a good time, but why did I not wake up sooner? So how much it's like, I'm ready to leave. I don't want to be here. You know, when y'all all took y'all photo last night, I pictured him there with y'all. And it's like, you know, it's a very lonely place. And, you know, we drove today and we cried. Not just over Eli, but over the place we're in now after Eli. You know, I feel like somebody deleting themselves, suicide, is a place we all should really understand the effect that it has, not just from the people that love you to the core, but those who appreciate you, those who understand you, and those who respect you, of how it will impact them in their lives. You know, you mean something to everyone, regardless how big or how small. You're not alone.
That was very eloquently put. God, we're on such different places. I feel like you're so many miles ahead of me, and I'm just...
I wish you never feel like that, because, you know, when you was crying today in the car, I started crying, because it's easy to go there. It's easy to just switch over there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not running miles ahead of you. I'm not in a better grieving process than you. This is my first traumatic experience through my whole life. My grandma passed through cancer, but we wasn't close. I didn't really know her. I was young. I had a friend that died and got killed, but I was young. You know what I'm saying? That memory faded. And, you know, I got trauma that I think that's why I got issues remembering my beginning of my life and stuff, because it was a lot of trauma. But it's like, I'm not ahead of you. You just dealt with way more trauma than I have ever experienced. Not truly having your mama in your life is trauma. Never to knowing your mama is trauma. Not knowing who your dad is trauma. Your brother passing is trauma. Your son passing is trauma. It's like, I'm not ahead of you. You have been through way more than I have been through. If I put myself in your shoes, would I be as strong as you? That's what I think. And I don't think I could. And I wish you stopped beating yourself up to a point of you feeling lonely and alone, because a lot of people can't walk in your shoes and survive. And you have. So you have to take that and build on that, then take off of it. You can't take off of that. You got to build on that, because Isaiah's watching. He went with us to your brother's funeral. He felt it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you're a big piece of gold for us, and we eat off of your experience and how you do things. Came across this post, and I'm gonna play it, and then we're gonna come back and give our perspective.
The biggest scam on planet Earth is a job. Because think about it, you work for 40 years, 8 hours a day, and after 40 years, you are still broke. How is that not a scam?
So, yeah. And, you know, that's so funny. We was talking about that and when we was driving. Well, not about the job, but how how a lot of people put their dreams on hold because they have a job or they have a comfortable job. A lot of times they don't feel fulfilled in their life because they're not doing what they truly love to do. I had saw something that somebody had posted. They were talking about how in this society, how the school system destroys that idea of thinking outside the box. It takes away your identity. It strips you of your identity to think creative mindset, to just be a worker bee, while you're working and living check to check and dealing with the stress of being in a job that you really don't enjoy. Someone else is living out their dream. And when I came across that post, it just made me look at things a little bit differently. I think as a mother, I always told Eli and Isaiah, no matter what, do what your heart desires and what you love to do. I know that's kind of crazy that I was telling them that and I wasn't doing it. I was kind of like complacent, and I was trying to take the safe route because we had them and we had to support them. So I felt like they had that freedom to do whatever they needed to do or wanted to do. They didn't have any responsibility or restrictions to do that. And I think as a society, we do that. We tell our kids, hey, go to college, get a degree, you get all these loans and debt, and then you come out of college and you get a job where you barely able to support yourself, and you might discover you have a talent for doing something else, but with that talent it doesn't pay for you to survive in this economical world, and you throw that talent away because you're comfortable working this job because you know A, it's stable, B, it's a check every week guaranteed or every 2 weeks, and three, you're kind of stripped of your identity in a sense. So I wish a lot of us could just live out our dreams and not be conformed to live in this structure of society where we're worrying about making sure that we can pay the bills, we have a place to eat. I think I kind of worry about Isaiah now that he's in school and how much it's cost and the debt and the loans and everything that he is accumulating. And I hope that when he graduates, he's doing something that he really enjoyed doing it. And that's my fear. I think he's looking at it, and I could be wrong, but I'm on the outside looking at it. I think he's looking at it as, wow, I'm going to make a lot of money and I can help people.
I want to apologize to Allie. I remember when I first met you and we was outside and you told me you was going to school to be a teacher or a cop.
A detective. Yeah.
So
okay.
I was like, that's what you want to be, a teacher? You want to deal with all these kids? And I don't want to be a negative person in your life. And I think I was at that point just because, you know, I hear so much about the kids now. And I know how much the parents don't hold their kids up to a standard of discipline and respect. You know that if you talk back, I hope if you talk back to your teacher, your mom don't look like a person that's going to sit back and say, oh, okay, that was cute. You know, she's going to say, what are you doing? And, you know, the more the generation move forward, it's just like, to me, it's like adults ain't being parents. It's more of being friends to their child. And it's okay to have a friendship with your child, but it has to be a friendship of respect. And that friendship of respect is when you step out that house, you are representing us. And I think Elijah did that to the millions of hundreds of his ability. His whole high school and football and everything he'd been through, he always showed respect. And people just don't raise, they're not raising their kids to show them.
What about Isaiah? He was a little bit rebel.
Isaiah did this thing. He was a good kid, don't deny. You know, he was respectful and everything, but you know, sometimes he would get into that headspace of following the crowd.
Or fuck you.
But he's a great kid. I was just using Elijah as the example because all his years, he never got a detention. He never got suspended. We didn't have to go up there and talk to a guidance counselor or a teacher. Like Isaiah, we had to go to school at least 2-3 times over his shenanigans. But he's still a good kid. But it's some kids is being raised to just have no respect. And that can be overwhelming for a person that's there for the best interest of the children, you know, and you have one kid disrupting a whole class and you can't get control of it. You know what I'm saying? You get to that stage in your career, you're like, fuck it. I'm going to just do what they gave me. I'm not giving an extra effort to nothing, but you're not helping nobody when you get to that point. And I know your spirit read Beautiful Soul. So as a beautiful soul, I never want to see nobody get destroyed off of what society brings to them.
Or the restrictions that society
and a teacher now is in a worse situation that they ever have been in. And that's the school giving them, this is what you need to teach. You need to teach this to 80% level. And we got to pass this bar or whatever it is. And it's nothing to do with making true men and women and building our future. It's more of, this is the curriculum. You teach the curriculum. If you can't teach it, you get punished for it. And, you know, I think, you know, you was telling me about real estate. I think that is really beautiful. If you ever decide to go into that, you have the personality. You're a car artist. I can see you selling a lot of. I see you selling a lot of stuff. I think it's just your.
Allie, is that true?
Don't expose me, okay? If I'm gonna be a con artist, you can't say that. Yeah. I can't get away with it.
But I think that your spirit is definitely a spirit of change. And that's why you got so many issues with stuff that's outside because of who you are.
What's your take on what the gentleman was saying?
I think
very true. Ramble on.
Very true what you mentioned about the school aspect. Mm-hmm. It takes away all creative liberty that kids have. I know you just go in, write a paper about this, do this assignment, like it's nothing fun. And then those rare times where I remember I would get, okay, write an essay about whatever you want. And I'm just like, I don't know. I need a prompt. Like, I have no thought process behind it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And it ruins you. And I think that it sucks going into the job field now because I want to travel. I want to do what makes me happy, but I can't because I have to have a job so I can have money to do it. But once I get a good, stable, paying job, then I can't just leave and go travel. And then I feel like once you get to retirement age where you should have enough money if your job set you up right, and if they don't, then you're just screwed. but you can't go travel or do whatever because you're older. Your body's not the best state. If you have good paying jobs, like at the mills, you have a bunch of money, but
you got
your
a bunch of health issues.
Exactly. Yeah. Your body, you just can't do anything that you want to. So it sucks all the way around, but there's no solution unless you're an influencer or whatever. That's like the only workaround, really.
But you know what? I will commend your generation because they refuse to work a 9 to 5, 5 days out of the week. And on the weekend, they're trying to rest and do more work so that they could be prepared for Monday and not make anything. Now, as far as them knowing their worth, I commend them on that and not wanting to settle for anything less. However, I don't understand you quitting a job and not having another job and not caring if you have a place to lay your head or food to eat. Now, that whole thought process is banounced to me. I don't get how they correlate the two. You gotta be able to afford to have a place to live. I know a lot of younger people, young adults, have side hustles and they do that, but I just don't understand how the ones that don't have a side hustle, how they just, yeah, well, if I pay it, if I don't, I don't care. I'm just not working this job because I don't feel satisfied. I get that. I never understood that being younger, how you work at a company for 20, 30 years, you retire. And when you retire, your body's all broke down that you can't even enjoy the fruit of your labor. Great episode, Allie and Eugene. We want to thank everybody again. And we hope that our personal perspective can be of use for someone or help them out. And don't forget to like, support, and follow us at LME446 on Instagram. And we'll catch you on the next one. Peace. Peace.